Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information on ICOM's powerful HF radios, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 66, September 26th, 2012. Great videos from you, the viewers. Good evening, everybody. It's K9EID and Wednesday night, which means it's time for Ham Nation, a wonderful program about ham radio. And joining me are our usual cohorts, Gordon West in Costa Mesa. How you doing, Gordo?
I am fine, and my voice is worn out from the great D-Star activity this past weekend. I mean, if you wanted DX Bob, it was there on the D-Star party.
Echo 6 Papa question mark. Victor Echo 6 Papa question mark. Delta Lima 2 Fox Delta Lima DL 2 FDL. Good evening. Please copy 59-2007. Hey. Over.
And no right. Static. Boy, I'll tell you, it was great. We'll play a little bit of 10 meters later on. But real quick, Bob, for those viewers and listeners that have Yaesu 897 or 857, did you know on the bottom of that radio is a jack, and you can turn that Yaesu 857 or 897 into a big S-meter display, ALC, SWR, you name it. This comes from LDG. It's backlit. If that one's too big, they have a smaller one. And it just plugs into the bottom of an 857 or an 897. So for those of you with the Yaesu radios, if you want a little bigger S-meter, not a power out, well, it also does power out as well. As a reference, these devices are available from LDG. Add 12 volts for the backlit meter. Simply plug in one end to the bottom of the Yaesu 857 or 897. The other one goes into the back of the device. And presto, this big meter now adorns your shack. So, Bob, back to you, and I can't wait to hear all of the others that talk about some of the great activities this past weekend.
That's great. George, what'd you do this weekend that was exciting?
This weekend, I pretty much laid around the shanty here. I did a little editing, a little bit of stuff here in the shack. I didn't build anything. I just kind of looked over stuff that I'm thinking about doing in the future here, but... A good, relaxing weekend for the most part.
Oh, I figured you'd be hammering and putting up newer shelves and more equipment and stuff in the new studio. Is that pretty much finished?
It'll never be finished, you know. As long as there's room to put another piece of junk in here, it won't be finished. But, it's kind of, I don't know, I guess it's taking a back burner right now. I need to do some more things before winter gets here, so... I'll get on those, but yeah, it's come along nice. I don't know of anything that's got to be done right now, so I'm at that stage of just trying to decide what's next.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And Don, how are you doing this weekend? Everything okay? Your birthday was, what, yesterday? Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I turned 52 years old yesterday and had a really, really good birthday. I had to work, but that's all right. My wife came up to New Orleans and had lunch with me, which is a very rare treat. She hasn't done that in several years. And we went out to eat dinner last night and had a nice boiled seafood dinner. And a friend of mine, the guy that I work with, gave me something pretty special for my birthday. Not sure if you can see this. This is a Partagas.
Oh, wow.
Cigar, and there is a little word on there. It is Habano, so it's a little bit of contraband here. So trading with the enemy, but I'm going to be enjoying that this weekend. I had two car shows last Saturday, and I've got a big one this weekend. It's actually a reunion of the Dukes of Hazzard TV show. All the original people will be there. All the original actors from the TV show will be at this car show here in South Louisiana. And I'm taking my Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am up there, and we're gonna maybe have a little race between the general and the bandit and see what happens.
Oh, that sounds like fun. That's great. That's great. Well, I'm still digging holes in the meadow, and we hung up the 40-meter phased array yesterday. Bucket truck was here. Got the tower here. Don't have it up yet. We'll do that. And then I got to go away next week because I got to do something and working again. You know, it's one of those things. I wish I could be with you guys at MFJ, but I am going to be out. But anyway, got that. Got all the other antennas up, the 40-meter phased arrays up and going. We'll get the switching done, and then we'll let you know how it is. But the most exciting thing for me, where you see this, Gordo, George, you guys are going to be killed.
I'm looking.
I got something off of eBay, and you're going to say, what? That's exciting.
Oh, I know that. Well, an impedance bridge? Huh?
Is that capacitive or resistive?
That's the resistor, and here comes the capacitors. I got both of them.
Oh, wow. Hey,
substitution
now,
boxes.
For all you guys who are saying, what are these guys talking about? There's a whole bunch of resistors in here. All different kinds, values. And if you're doing a project and you're playing around with different resistors, instead of wire clipping this and that, you can just turn a switch. And it's just the coolest thing. If I want to put, let's say I want to put a 68K resistor in series with something, I dial up 68K and it ends up on these two terminals. And then you take the test leads and away you go. It's the most handy thing I have. And I don't have a very good one. I haven't had for a long time. But I found this thing on eBay and I said, I got to have that. And then here, I don't have it apart, but it's the same thing with capacitors. And all we got, if we want an old 0.01 capacitor, you dial it up. And you know, what was so much fun about these is we built them. And this one was very well built, whoever did it. And then you put your test leads on it, and you can go do your projects. And I know, George, that you probably have all kinds of these laying around. But they're quite handy, aren't they?
They are. And no, I don't. I wish I did have some laying around. I've just never bought any yet. How much did you have to get for those?
I think they were $15 a piece.
Wow. Yeah.
You can't buy the resistors for that with the switches for that. The resistors are only a few cents, but those switches are expensive and they're real high quality. That's, you know, that's one thing you got to say about Heathkit. Here's something that might be 40 years old and the quality is right up to date, and somebody did a magnificent job of putting it together. But I'm just a nut about all that Heathkit stuff and things like that, because in my work of building microphones and playing around with different pads and equalization, all this, it really makes it simple. I have one, but it's a piece of junk. It's awful. The switch doesn't work very well, and it doesn't have near that many resistors in it. So look around if you can find it on eBay or anywhere else. Hamfest, what is it? It's a model RS1, and what's the capacitor? It's CS1, but Heathkit, it's really cool. So that was my big deal. All of this stuff I have in here, and you're going to say, guy's crazy. He goes for a little capacitor resistor substitution box. Yep. Like Sarah says, doesn't take much to keep him happy. Oh, well, I'll tell you who's happy. That's Julian. He's got a bunch of videos. What's going on in your world, Julian? You had your camera working, didn't you?
Well, actually, it wasn't my camera, I'm pleased to say, because I'm kind of disabled right now. But we had some good people send in some videos actually over the past several weeks. So we've been a little busy, what with hurricanes and stuff like that. So we haven't really had an opportunity to play very many of them. But apparently at the Boxborough Ham Fest, There was an interesting piece of equipment from Elecraft, which is kind of nice. I think a lot of the Elecraft owners might eventually want to get one of these. So we can roll the first video and we can see what Elecraft has for us.
I'm Al K1LTJ, and I'm here at the ARRL New England Division Convention in Boxborough, Massachusetts, not far from Boston. And I've had a good time here at the convention. I've looked around. I've seen all kinds of interesting things. But far and away, the most interesting, unique, kind of crazy, but very, very cool thing I found here is at Hudson Valley Towers. Now, this is Lee, W2DX, and Ray, W2RE. Together, they are Hudson Valley Towers. And these are the guys who put my stepper up in my tower, and that's how I got my big signal. But you've got a whole new wild concept here that has really captured my imagination. And the way I told you I was thinking of it was sort of like a ham radio vacation timeshare.
Yes.
Except you don't have to fly anywhere, you don't have to drive anywhere, and you can go anytime you want.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's better if you explain this. Tell us about it.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah, so basically Ray and I, I've been working on a project for about 14 months or so, and we have some really incredible stations up along the East Coast. We said, you know, wouldn't it be nice for a guy who's in a condo or has tower restrictions in his neighborhood, is, you know, fighting with the town, to be able to get on and operate these stations, world-class stations, essentially, yeah, from right in the comfort of his own home with a real radio, right? So we came out with a service called remotehamradio.com. We're kind of going live this weekend at the Boxborough Hamvention. And basically how it works is you sign up for the service, we ship you a K3 with all the pieces to connect into our service, and you can connect to mountaintop QTHs all along the East Coast with big stack antennas and a kilowatt of power all from your kitchen table.
Yeah, and I mean, these are really, some of them are really big gun contest stations, right?
Yes, for instance, Ray's contest QTH in the Catskills is
Summit, yeah.
Summit, New York. Yeah. It's 2,100 feet above sea level and big, huge stacks and crazy. And you can check it out at W2RE.com. You can see the station, all the pictures and stuff we were doing up there.
Yeah, go to Ray's website and see what Ray has put together. It's way beyond cool.
It's pretty wild.
And I was in a condo for a lot of years before, you put the tower and the antenna up for me, and I would have really gotten a kick.
We think this is really going to open up the door for a lot of guys who want to enjoy the hobby, not only enjoy the hobby, but possibly for the first time in their ham radio hobby career, they're going to operate some of the biggest stations in the world.
Now, what bands?
6 through 160.
All right, see, that's great.
And kilowatt out.
We're going to look at this in a second. You even got a steerable four square for 80 meters.
Yes, four square,
And on 6 meters, I was saying you could pick a station down south, do trans-equatorial
stuff. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's going to get to a point where we'll probably have a station on the West Coast and stations all along the East Coast. And you want to know what it's like to run JAs on 6 from the West Coast? Well, you'll be able to do that at some point.
Now, you told me you had an internet connection while you were mobile, right?
Yes. We actually, on the way up to Boxborough, Ray and I threw a K30 on the dash. Driving up 84 and calling CQ Mobile, and guys in Europe are like, how are you 30 dB over S9 in your mobile, you know? So it was a really lot of fun.
Yeah, they asked what the rig was in the car?
It was a K3 and a four-element, four-over-four stack and a kilowatt. And they're like, how are you doing that mobile, you know? So we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
All right, let's take a look at how this works and what you've got here.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Al. So this is ZL2WL here. Okay, so we're here in a ZL here on 20 meters, and if we, here we are, it's a regular radio, right? Real VFO knobs and microphones and keys and the whole thing. And over here, we can see all the rotors, the 80-meter foursquare, which we can simply just click and change direction with a mouse click. And you can see this antenna that we're listening to the ZL on is at 270 degrees, basically looking right at them, and I can switch to a stack. And there's a 4-over-4 stack that's fixed towards Europe, and they just disappear. So we can go back to the other antenna, and there he is, back towards the west. So very, very simple, very easy to operate. You simply forget that the towers aren't in your backyard. It's really quite incredible. If I spin down the band here, let's see. Let's go down the band. Let's find a frequency. Going through the internet right now. This is a K30. There's actually no RF section inside of this radio. You can check it out at Elecraft's website. And you can see in this display, this is a console for the amplifier. We use solid-state kilowatt amplifiers from SBE. And so what we can do is we pick up the microphone here. Hello, test 1, 2, 3, whiskey 2, Denmark X-ray testing. And you can see it was 1,200 watts output, just like that, very simple. So the transmitter site's roughly about 250 air miles away in the northern Catskills, and we're here at the Boxborough Convention working DX. It's fantastic.
All right, Lee, thanks very much for showing this to us. It's really interesting. And if someone has more interest, how do they get a hold of you?
Okay, real easy, remotehamradio.com. Go to the website, check it out, fill out an inquiry, and simple as that.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
So what a cool way to operate a big station when maybe you don't have a big station. And you can work the world using a little bit of the internet, but mostly using RF, thanks to the Elecraft gear there. Great video there. We really appreciate Al. And that's the kind of video that we really want to see. So show us some ham radio in operation. Let's see the nuts and bolts of what's happening. So now, on a different subject, let's see. Jim Wilson, K5ND, who's with Boy Scouts of America, sent in this video all about the upcoming Jamboree on the air.
This is the National Scouting Museum in Irving, Texas. And on the third weekend in October, K2BSA Portable 5 will be in operation for Jamboree on the air. Okay, so what is Jamboree on the air? It's the world's largest scouting event with over 750,000 scouts participating from 6,000 amateur radio stations across 150 countries. It all happens the third weekend in October. Here at the National Scouting Museum, we'll have a few hundred scouts involved in HF, VHF, UHF, satellite, digital phone, and a scheduled contact with the International Space Station. We'll also toss in some fox hunting for fun outdoors. And remember, these scouts that will be participating across the nation, across the world, are the ones that will be writing regulations for your amateur radio antennas over the next decades, from federal, state, city, and neighborhood regulations. So you really want to get out and reach them now. Teach them the fun and technology of amateur radio. So how can you get involved with Jamboree on the air? For starters, you can get on the air and hand out QSOs to all the Jamboree on the air stations. Now, Jamboree on the air is not a contest. There aren't any prizes for making the most contacts. Instead, we're looking at having conversations with the scouts so that they get to see the magic of amateur radio. Another way to get involved is to reach out to your local amateur radio club or your local scout council and see what events they might already have planned and get involved there, helping out as you can. For more information about Jamboree on the air, go to www.scouting.org/JOTA. Lots of information about how to get involved, a complete list of stations that have registered for that weekend, October 20th. So get involved and help these scouts discover the magic of amateur radio.
That's the kind of videos that we're looking for, Ham Nation viewers and listeners. So if you've got videos, get them posted to YouTube. Is that right? And then let Julian know that those videos are there. And it's in 3JF at ARRL.net. And we want to see your videos. All right. We had a question come in from one of our viewers indicating that What does it take to make a grab-and-go kit? So I thought we'd give you a real quick sample of the grab-and-go kit that we have here. Saw some great ones in QST magazine as well as CQ magazine this month, but they lacked the battery. So, Alex, if you want to go ahead and roll what we use here in Southern California. Actually, we take our grab-and-go kit from Southern California to Quartz Fest, and Quartz Fest is coming up that last full week in January, and in Quartzsite, Arizona. This is the go kit. It's in the yellow bag. The bag is nothing special. It comes from a luggage store, but behind that bag and in between the radio and the back of the bag is a about a 35-amp gelled battery. The voltmeter is so important. When you transmit with 30 or 40 watts, if it dips down as it's doing here to 9 volts, you know you've got a dead battery. In fact, we changed the battery out. I'm happy to say that now we've got a fresh battery, the ICOM dual band radio, and now, as you can see, we've got a full charge on it. But the roller bag rolls with a built-in battery, and on the next shot, you're going to get a close-up of some of the accessories. We have a cigarette lighter adapter specifically for those that may come unprepared, not going for Anderson's, but wanting to plug in. Also, we can plug into a cigarette lighter outlet in a vehicle and charge the battery. Here's where our antenna plugs in. It's an SO239. That's the most common mag mount antenna. So if you're in someone's vehicle, you have a way of getting out with your rig. Or if you're portable, you just stick it right on there. And again, there's a close-up of the big voltmeter. Very important to see what's going on. Not so much on receive, but when you transmit, you want to make sure you're not dropping more than about a half a volt. And if you are, then it's a good time to deploy a solar panel. Here we're using the big battery. We ran for 2 full days at field day, and our whole setup kept right on trucking, never dipping below 12 volts. So, be sure that if you're going to be checking out those bags at the airport, get one that's nice, bright color. Get one with double wheels on it, because you're going to be pulling a gelled battery that weighs about 20 pounds. It adds a lot to your solar setup. But as you can see right here next to my classic station wagon to do dual with Don and his rig, the go bag just rolls right along and will keep you on the air. And no matter what you're doing, whether you're teaching a class or setting up at an EOC, having that battery right along with your grab-and-go kit makes you independent of shore power, and you just start operating as soon as you're ready to roll. So we encourage all of you to think about a grab-and-go kit, but get one on a roller bag, and that way you aren't having to lug all that around by picking it up. Just roll it right along. So, Bob, we'll roll it back to you. Go ahead, Bob. Gordo, WB6NOA.
I have a question about the grill. I want to see that picture of the grill again. It kind of looked like Ghostbusters. What's the speaker in the grill for? That's a speaker, isn't it?
Roger. Well, you didn't get the grill, but it's around there somewhere. But, yeah, that's a 76 Chevy 454, a big carburetor, 8 miles a gallon. There yeah. It is. Yahoo! Yeah. 100,000 original miles, and that is one loud speaker. Of course, it's not a siren because Julian's in that field, and he would have to write me a ticket. But it's one heck of a loud speaker system. Back to you, Bob.
But I still didn't hear what you, well, we won't get into that. Going down the street yelling at pretty girls in California. We'll just use our imagination, okay? The chat room's going to start going crazy now. What is the big speaker in front of it? What, 76, was it? 1976? Yeah.
76 Malibu Classic, original owner, big 454, and it gets a lot of looks like a Ghostbusters, and that speaker really helps out when I'm at the scene of a something and I need to take the audio outside.
Mm-hmm. And to see that something could be at the beach where you see, well, Forget it. All right. This is a show about ham radio. But we are human beings, you know. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. That was great. Both of those videos that Julian has. And, of course, there was LTJ, Big Al. And you know why I call him Big Al? Because he's always about 40 over 9 on my receiver. Oh, thanks a lot, Al, for those. And thanks for what you do on the net. And that's just great. And the Boy Scout thing, that's always fabulous. So we want to see if Leo's around. I think he's got some words. Let's see if he's there. Leo, take it away.
CQ contest. CQ, CQ, a call that becomes all too familiar in the fall on the HF bands. And you probably heard it once or twice. CQ contest, CQ contest. Well, ICOM has you covered. Are you ready to contest with the IC 7600, 7700, and the 7800? Just ask the operators at the K3LR contest station what they're using. These guys win, and they win big, and they know they're going to win best with one of these three great ICOM HF radios. You could take your contesting to the next level with the three HF 50 megahertz transceivers, the 76, 77, and 7800, all have advanced DSP technology, dynamic range, and superior receiver sensitivity. They've got built-in IF filters, roofing filters, including 3 kilohertz, which really is going to help you in CW and SSB. Build your own digital IF filter. This is what's so cool now about these radios, which are essentially software radios, is so programmable. You could build your own digital IF filter and digital twin PBT, passband tuning, real-time spectroscope that you can look at to help improve range, response time, and frequency accuracy. The RTTY and PSK31 operation works with a USB keyboard. You don't need a PC. This thing is a very powerful computer, really. The 7600 adds a little more for contesters, especially if you're just starting out. A great price, and dual 32-bit floating DSP units, one for the transmitter receiver, the other for the spectrum scope. You got dual watch on the same band. That's really handy. LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display. Go one step up, then you got the 7700. Single receiver design, but the 7700 shares some of the qualities of that high-end 7800, making it a premier transceiver for contesting. 200-watt output power at full duty cycle. Wow. At full duty cycle. 7-inch color display, an external display connection. We use that. You've seen that on our set. ICOM's DigiCell preselector that works between the 1.5 megahertz and 30 megahertz bands, rejects distortion, automatically tracks the intended signal. But if you really want to go all the way, do what I did. Get the 7800. Oh, baby. Oh, I love this radio. Quad processing. Four independent DSP units and 24-bit AD, D to A converters, allowing streamlined operation and high performance. Completely independent receivers. From antenna inputs all the way through to the stereo headphone and external speaker outputs. You've also, all three rigs have beautiful design. I should probably go over there and show you. I'll get somebody to go over there and show you. It's so nice. Spectrum scope, simulated analog meters move naturally on that beautiful display. Of course, we put it up on the big screen because it's got the external output. A large front control panel interface that groups buttons and functions just together logically. So it's really easy to use, even for a punter like me. Tuning knobs, this smooth and sturdy. I don't know why, but that to me is a big deal. Just to have the ballistics of that knob and how it feels. Menu operation is very intuitive, so it's easy to learn. All three radios are fun to use. So many other great features, including digital notch filter technology, noise reduction, noise blanker, built-in memory keyer. It's handy for sending. My CQ is terrible. My Morse code is terrible. My CW is terrible. But you can use this memory keyer for sending CQ or exchanging numbers during contests. Microphone equalizer, adjustable transmit bandwidth. You're going to love this. Make sure you visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation for more information on ICOM's powerful HF radios, the best in the biz. You can also enter ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag, things like T-shirts and hats. And congratulations to all our winners from the previous weeks. You could check them out at ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. There's a link right there that says view last week's winners. Come to our brick house and see our 7800 or go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Learn more about the 76, 77, and 7800. Great, great HF radios, especially for contesting. You're going to love them. All right, I'm out of here, guys. Thank you. And we'll see you next week on Ham Nation.
Okay. Yeah, the 7800 is a fabulous piece that he has there in the Brick House Station. Great stuff. Great stuff. I had a 76.
Wow. That really is great. Hey, Bob, did you know that this past weekend was the 10 meter was wide open, and all of those ICOMs that we just mentioned all have DSP. Listen to what came in on 10 meters, Bob, on this ICOM 9100. I was just playing around getting it warmed up, and here comes this station.
You have a fantastic signal here in Central Europe. 73 is check. Enjoy the good opening, and we'll hope to meet you down the lot. KQ6, Italy Uniform, OE3 DIA, Bravo.
OE3. I don't even know where that is. I'm not a DXer, but it definitely was in Europe. But the DSP on all of those HF radios that ICOM includes, all the way from the 7200 up to the top of the line, DSP. Even the 718 with DSP pulls in those signals. Back to you, Bob.
Hey, Gordo, what happened Saturday? You know, I came in here and I was listening around and I thought, wow, I never heard any U.S. station. It was all stuff from Europe and all over. Like, was that, did you find that unusual? It was really, really good. Not just been listening on 10 meters or what was the deal?
10 came alive on Thursday and stayed strong all the way through the weekend. And it was half over the poles and half just coming in from the northeast. And this little 9100 could work every station that we could hear, thanks to the DSP to get rid of the noise across the street. So DSP with ICOM rigs really works when the band is open, like 10 was.
Well, you guys know that all I have out here right now are dipoles, the MIT coaxial dipoles. I have one for 10 meters. And I got to tell you, I was thinking all about a lot of the Ham Nation viewers and, oh, you got to have big rays and all this. I was working people all over Europe with this simple dipole out here. So please get on 10 meters and start watching, because this is the season for sporadic E to start taking off on 10, 6. It's really a great time to have things fired up in ham radio. No, you don't have to have a bunch of big antennas. Good old dipole works great. I've got a few pictures I want to show. If Alex will bring them up, we really like your pictures. Please send more so we can get these up and show me your shack. And Paul K9PLG sent one in. Check this out. Is that cool or what? And then let's see. I think that is Thomas's station, DG8FBV from Germany. Check it out. And then he sent me one of his antennas, and check out the antenna system. This is really nice. Look at this. You talk about, oh, you live on a small lot. Look, so does he. But he's got everything covered. And what a nice picture, because he's went in and brought it all up for us and put in the text of what goes where. So congratulations. That was really a nice thing. And I appreciated getting all of that information from Thomas. So if you see your way fit to get on 10 meters, I bet you'll find him. And he's been working on a lot of things over there with some of the ham fest at Friedrichshafen and he definitely is a serious ham radio operator. Tom, thanks for sending us that. Now, let's go to one of the next ones, see if we can find, bring that other one up for us and see what we got next. Oh, yeah, look at this. See, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It has to just be something we can have fun and work with. This is Paul, K9PLG, and I love it because he's got a nice old 520. And boy, the 520s work well. And then he's got his 2000. He's got a Behringer. So it's all really nice stuff. And I applaud him for what he's done to keep it all simple. And then we got one from KE4BFG. He's got a nice shot of his Heritage Hi-All microphone plugged into a 2000. I noticed down below, Gordo, he's got his grid square map and he's got his WAS map. So I'm sure he's out plotting all of the different states and stuff. And that's what makes it fun, is being able to do some of those things. Along with this, I brought back memories that 1 year ago today, I was in the UK. Sarah and I were invited to be over at their national convention. And the National Ham Fest is like the Dayton of the UK. And it's really a nice show. They put on a great show. And here's a couple of pictures from that. Waters and Stanton is a great dealer over there. We were putting on workshops. They had really nice workshops, well attended, and great audio for our systems. We could have nice videos. That worked great. And the next slide will probably be Sarah and I in the Waters and Stanton booth there with the, they had just introduced the Eagle. They're a Tentec dealer. That's interesting because in the United States, Tentec does not sell through dealers, but in the UK, Waters and Stanton is their dealer. But then the next one was very special. I have to tell you about this. The National Hamfest guys, Chris Jones, especially the chairman of the Lincoln Shortwave Club, he went to the cathedral there in Lincoln, and it's one of the oldest cathedrals. At one time, it was the tallest building in the world, and they have this enormous pipe organ, and they, I don't know who they had to pay off or what they had to do, but I was very honored to be able to spend 30 minutes at that instrument. And I don't play church music, but I did that day. But Chris, thanks a lot, man. And all you guys, if you're in the UK, be sure you check out the National Hamfest. And there's a nice website that they have, and you can go check it out. Just nationalhamfest.org.uk. nationalhamfest.org. UK, and you'll get to see and probably hear some of this stuff that's been going on in past. But this weekend, I wish I was there, but I'm not. I'm going to go to work. So we'll make it next year. Yeah, there's our website. It's really nice. So spend some time looking around there, and you'll see what's happening. So we bring it back to the United States, and Don Wilbanks is going to give us the news to see just what's been going on. Don, take it away.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1832. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 26, 2012. According to news reports, the majority control in the United States House of Representatives favors clearing federal spectrum for commercial use instead of seeking sharing arrangements, and there's a chance that any decisions could impact on future access to the highest bands used by ham radio.
On September 13th, House members of the Communications and Technology Subcommittee were to discuss the subject of creating opportunities through improved government spectrum efficiency. But in rejecting a report from the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the memo said that sharing spectrum in the way it envisions is less useful than clearing spectrum and too untested to be the focus of the subcommittee's spectrum strategy. The memo went on to say that such sharing would be reserved for cases in which federal clearing is impossible. However, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology and the National Telecommunications and Information Administration both endorse public-private spectrum sharing. They also claim that clearing the spectrum would cost more than $18 billion and 10 years to clear the targeted airwaves. At this moment, it's not known exactly what spectrum would be impacted if a non-sharing plan is eventually passed. That said, it could impact negatively on amateur radio if the reallocated spectrum was that shared between Part 97 users and government agencies, as quite a bit of the UHF and higher bands are today. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Carlson, KQ6 FM in Reno.
Over on the other side of the world, the South African Radio League says that it supports the Radio Society of Great Britain's concerns over access broadband over power line, also known as power line technology. These are the internet access ports carried on unshielded in-home and power line-to-home wiring.
The RSGB had written an official letter to the International Amateur Radio Union Region 1 Electromagnetic Compatibility Working Group. In it, the UK National Ham Radio Society asked that the working group reconsider its policy on the draft European Broadband Over Power Line Standard, one that the RSGB claims to threaten a 38 dB increase in RF pollution over much of the shortwave radio spectrum. The South African Radio League says that it fully supports the RSGB's views. Any relaxation in emission levels can have far-reaching negative effects, which ultimately may impact on South Africa as well.
Amateur Radio Newsline, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, reporting. The long-awaited launch of a number of new ham radio CubeSats has finally taken place. The group of tiny birds wing their way to Earth orbit September 13th aboard an Atlas V launch vehicle from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. The launch carried a satellite for the National Reconnaissance Office, 4 CubeSats as part of NASA's educational launch of nanosatellites mission, and 7 CubeSats for government use. Also now on orbit, the Colorado Student Space Weather Experiment. You can hear that on 437.345 megahertz, transmitting 9K6 modulation and AX.25 protocol. Another is CP5, also known as Polysat. Its downlink is 437.405 megahertz at 1 watt AFSK on lower sideband and AX.25 protocol. And rounding out the set, XBN, that's a cosmic X-ray background nanosatellite. Its downlink is 437.525 megahertz, running GFSK, also in AX.25 protocol. The upcoming 40th anniversary gathering at MFJ Enterprises in Starkville, Mississippi is October 5th and 6th, and it will be streamed live over the Internet. If you can't make the trip to Starkville in person, you can join us online at W5KUB.com. And speaking of fun gatherings, it's PacificCon time again. Jim Siemens, AF6PU, is the event's co-general chairman.
PacificCon specifically is a forum-driven event, and we have fantastic speakers from all over the country. We've had Nobel laureates and astronauts and all sorts of folks come out and talk about great amateur. Whatever you're into in amateur radio, we're going to have something for you.
PacificCon is the 2012 AWRL National Convention in Ham Nation's own Gordon West. WB6NOA will be among the scheduled speakers. It all happens October 12th through 14th in Santa Clara, California. You can find out more online at pacificon.org. And that's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Love those videos. That's great, Don. Thanks so much for doing all of that. Thanks to Bill Pasternak and all of the staff that keeps that whole thing on the air. I have a tough time thinking about calling it Newsline. It's still Westline to me. That tells you how long I've been around. No, Newsline is great. It did start out as Westlink, though, let me tell you. But it's been a few decades ago. All right, down to Mississippi, turn on the green lights and turn up the fire, because here it comes. Part two, isn't that right, George? Let her go.
Yeah, well, we've been building this open beacon kit here. We began last week, and we're going to do another section of it this week and test it out. And then next week, we're going to test this thing. Now, those of you who are building along at home, if you would, send me an email, george@amateurlogic.tv, and let me know when you've got your kit complete, because we want to try to get everyone on the air with these things and let our viewers search around and see which ones they can hear. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So tonight we're going to build, I believe it's the oscillator buffer stage of this device. And Alex, if you'll roll the video. This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to continue our Build Along at Home series with the Open Beacon, Part 2. Now, this kit's available from etherkit.com if you'd like to build along with us. Last week, we built the power supply and the USB microcontroller stages of the kit and tested them. This week, we're going to build the crystal oscillator and buffer section. Now, before we begin, let's take a look at how this circuit works. Transistor Q1 and crystal X1 and the surrounding components form a Colpitts crystal oscillator, which is keyed by Q4 above in the keyer section. The larger value capacitor, C5, allows setting the transmit frequency, while the smaller value thermocapacitor, C3, is used to control the maximum frequency shift. Now, LED D1 will not light up in this application. Instead, it's reverse bias so that we can use it as a variactor, that's a voltage control capacitor, to aid in tuning the oscillator. The first step is to install 7 resistors and 3 capacitors on the board. Now, at this point, you should know how to identify, position, and install those components, so we won't show that here. Next, though, we get to some frequency-dependent components. L1, L2, and R8 are determined by the band that your open beacon will operate on. Mine is the 30-meter version, so L1 is going to be a 10 microhenry coil, and that'll be brown, black, black, gold. L2 will also be a 10, and resistor R8 will be a 2.2 k-ohm resistor, which is red, red, black, brown, brown. L1 and L2 are molded inductors. They look just like resistors, but they have green bodies. They stand on their end just like resistors. After we finish installing all those, we've got another set of frequency-dependent components here. These are capacitors C3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and 12. Now, just as in the chart before, we'll select the row for the band that we'll be operating. Again, in my case, I'm operating the 30-meter band. These components should be easily identified, but I will give you one clue. C4, if you're building the 30-meter kit, is that
tiny blue capacitor.
The numbers on it are really hard to see, but if you get out your magnifier, you can probably read it. After we've installed all those, we move on to installing Q1, Q2, and D1. Now, all of these components have one side that's flat on them, so we want to make sure that we match that up with the flat side drawn on the board when we install them. Next up is the crystal X1. It's not polarized, so we can just plug it in there and solder it down, but we want to be sure that we leave just a tiny air gap between the board and the crystal itself so that the case of the crystal does not short out against the board. At this point, it's time to check out the unit, but I'll give you a little tip that I use here. The old 12-volt power supply that I use most often on the bench has an ammeter on it, so I will watch that while I apply power to something to see how much current is drawn, and that may give me a heads up there's a short on the board and I'm able to disconnect power before anything gets damaged. Now, that's drawing about 100 milliamps, and I believe that would be about correct for this circuit. Now, both LEDs light up on the unit, so that's a good initial sign. Now, we can check this with an oscilloscope, a frequency counter, or a HF receiver. I'm going to try all three here. Jason says that we should have approximately 800 millivolts on C15. I'll connect the ground to the side of the power connector and the probe onto C15. If we look at it on the scope, I have it set for 0.2 volts per division. That's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 1,200 millivolts. So a little more than the 800 in the docks here, but that should be fine. Now, we'll check the frequency on a frequency counter. I've connected to the same point on the circuit, and we see here it's 10.136654 megahertz. Now, the crystal is 10.140 megahertz, so we're slightly low, but I have not adjusted the tremors on the PC board yet. So, we're within range. Let's take a look at it next on a receiver. This is an IC7000, and I took a little wire and put it in the antenna jack, laid it over next to C15, and I see a carrier there on the band scope. If I tune to it, I see it's about 10.137 megahertz. So that's about the same thing we had on the frequency counter. I'm going to call the crystal oscillator buffer a success. Now next week we'll continue and complete our open beacon kit here by building the power amplifier, low pass filter, and tuning up the thing and getting it on the air. If you'd like to know more about the open beacon kit or build it at home along with us, check out the etherkit.com website. That's a fun little kit, and it is really simple to build. He's got good instructions on it. And I know some of you are building it out there because he sold out of it at least twice already. And I talked with our friend Dan, who does the Ham Nation Wiki last night, Bob. And Dan got impatient. He's already built his.
Yeah, we got to have Dan on here some night because not a lot of people know about the wiki pages and the show notes that he does. We got to get him on here and let him explain. He does a lot of work, and we need to let people know where they can go read about the show. Well, he got it together. Does it work?
It does work. As a matter of fact, he put it on the air last night. Now, he couldn't prove it worked to me last night because I couldn't pick it up. But one of the other guys in the Google Plus Hangout there did pick it up. So we know it works, and we're going to hear it sooner or later. His is on 40 meters. Mine is on 30. And I think the viewers at home are building both, too, 30s and 40s. So hopefully we can get all those on the air one night or a week here soon, and everybody can tune around and see what they can hear. Now, that was from etherkit.com. It's not too late to order you one of those and build along if you want, because you can download the episodes here and follow along. Next week, we're going to complete it by building the final power amplifier on it and the low-pass filter that goes with that, and we're going to tweak it and see how much power we can get out of that little baby. After that, we're going to do another build-at-home project, and that's going to be the MFJ 913K 4-to-1 Ballon Kit. You can learn more about that at mfjenterprises.com. They put the kit together especially for Ham Nation viewers. So if you want to build your own 4-to-1 Ballon, check that out, because we'll be doing that as soon as we're finished with the open beacon. Now, on our contest, I did not intend for it to be, but last week's question ended up being sort of a trick question. I knew the question was a resistor that had a color code of brown, black, black, orange would be what value. Now, you know, I didn't figure it up in my head real quick. I had the sheet sitting there from the open beacon, so I just picked it up and looked at one of the values he had there and the color code he had written out and spoke it, and I knew it sounded kind of strange when I said it. Because, you know, Bob and Gordo, too, I'm sure, when we think of resistor color codes, we're usually thinking of only three colors. But some of these new resistors have actually four colors on them, plus, you know, the extra band, that's the tolerance band on there. So brown, black, black, orange, we did have someone who knew. A lot of people got it wrong, and I can understand why. But Brian Harper, KD8SNH, got the question right. He says, assuming a 5-band resistor, brown, black, black, orange, would make the value of the resistor 100K. So congratulations, Brian. You win the copy of Jerry Buston's great Constructing HF Wire Antennas book here. We'll be shipping that out to you this week. And for next week, we've got another antenna book here. It's the ARRL antenna book. Comprehensive, probably everything you want to know about antennas. Jerry's book here is more tailored to getting right to the meat and potatoes and the things you really need to know. But if you want to do a little more in-depth, then this is a great resource right here. And if you'd like to win this, send me an email at hamnationcontest@gmail.com and answer this question. On the open beacon kit that I've been constructing, this week I used three pieces of equipment to test it with. What were those three pieces of equipment? Just send me your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win the antenna book.
Hey, George, I only got four colors on my resistors and my wonderful 40-year-old Heathkit thing. I guess it's too old to have five. Is that right?
I guess so. I mean, that really, you know, caught me off guard. I knew it sounded strange, but I didn't stop and think about it. But boy, yeah, all these new resistors, five bands on there, that's something.
Yep. Well, that's all the new stuff.
Yep.
Oh, well. Oh, well. Hey, Gordo, you know what we missed? Check this
What'd
out,
we miss?
Gordo. Well, Thomas from Germany with that great station. Thomas is in the audience, and he's watching and listening to us from Germany. You know, it's almost 5 minutes to four in the morning. Now, that is dedication to Ham Nation. What do you think?
I think so. He either stays up late or gets up early. Anyway, Thomas, thanks. Jillian says, great video.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? DG8FBV. Wow. Okay, well, let's take off and go up to Northern Illinois and see what's going on in the BIK household, because I know she does run that household. Hello, Cheryl.
Hello, Bob. Good evening. How are you? Good evening to everybody in the chat room, too, and listening to the podcast. Hi, Gordo, and hi, George. Anyhow, after getting all that, all the greetings done, I do have some questions here. I don't know if I run the household, Bob, but I do like those resistors only having so many bands that they were aged enough to not go forward to the next level of banding for those resistors. Pretty interesting there. I'll tell you what. Now, there are some questions I'd like to put out there. First off, we're curious. We have a viewer, DG8FBV. I believe he's wondering what happened with Julian and his arm. We want to know what happened.
Oh, man. Well, come on in here, Julian. Tell him all about
there
it.
There he is.
That's not a ham radio question. I had a rotator cuff tear and labrum and acromioplasty, so... Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Well, that might be one you use for keying. That might be the one that you use for keying up the keyer if you do CW. So it could really be a ham radio question after all, right, Julian?
That's for sure. Actually, he uses his left foot for the CW key. Yeah.
So, and then for you, Mr. Bob K9 EID, we have Jim, N2JFD. He'd like to know, is there a good microphone you can recommend to use with the new KX3 radio? What do you have for them?
Yep, you got to have a real high output microphone. Another little slip up of some of these companies where they build these great radios, but they have low gain preamps and you can't use regular good microphones. So you got to get a great microphone for it, which is the ICM or any of our IC elements, because it won't work well with any dynamic mic. It's kind of sad. I wish they would have put one more transistor. If they'd have went to George, he could have shown them how to just add one more little 5 cent transistor, but no. So you got to use an IC, something with high output, and it works very well with it. And it's kind of a very special input plug, but works good.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And can you confirm the EchoLink node after the show? That would be a question from N3ROC. I believe it's Do Drop In, but I want to know the spelling of it just to confirm, and I want to put it on the air here.
George has that.
*DODROPIN*. You have to put the stars on it. And if you're dialing in through a repeater with touch tones, then that's node number 355-800.
Thanks. And another one for you, George, comes from KC2TCMJ. He wanted to know if he had a chance to do anything with the flexible solar panels. He wanted to know. He had missed a couple of things, may not have been able to catch up. So do you use those solar panels?
Yeah, what he's referring to there is I was given some of these real neat flexible solar panels at the Dayton Hamvention. These were some seconds or some rejects that didn't quite make spec, but still worked. And they gave me a stack of them. And no, unfortunately, I haven't done anything with them yet. I've been pretty busy here with other projects. And, you know, I just built and moved into a new shack here. So I've got to do some reconnaissance work and find out where those are.
Of course. Thanks. And it looks like a suggestion for another show. N3VE said he'd like to see a segment just as a suggestion to how to couple an oscilloscope and a spectrum analyzer to an HF rig and their uses. That's a possibility. And one more technical question. I think that, Bob, this might be something you could take, if not Gordo. Comes from KC9TTV. He says, can you ask the guys if they know how to retune a Yaesu FT890 or 890 so that the frequency display matches the actual frequencies? I've looked everywhere, but every time I want to tune in on LSB or lower sideband, I have to display 200 hertz below the actual frequency I want to operate on. Can anybody answer that one?
My suggestion, I just read it today in EHAM, is call Yaesu. They have a great service department, and they can help you. Because a lot of times the manufacturer will have little updates and so on throughout the years that maybe some of us missed. And rather than ask a bunch of people and buddies and all this, go right straight to the source, Yaesu, and they will help you determine how to get everything lined.
Yeah, go direct.
Very good. Great tip there. And we have Russell for you, Bob, KB6YAF. He says he wants to know, are you going to do any more theater organ concerts? And I'd like to know that, too. Is that a yes or a no?
Yeah, if I can ever stay off the road with all my other star buddies. I mean, I got to take care of them first. But I tell you what we're working on is one down in Miami, Oklahoma, which isn't very far from us. But there's one there, and I need to come back to Tonawanda. Andy was on there a while ago. So if you have a very good working Wurlitzer theater organ in your town, call me, email me. I'd love to play these things. We just today put a door out here in our outbuilding on the second floor. We're going to move my monster instrument in a couple of weeks, and it won't fit in the door, so we had to put a 4-foot by 6-foot door on the second floor.
Oh my.
Yeah, we're gonna pick it up with a lift and slide it in. I'll have video for you that, because I don't know that I want to be there in case it falls, but it won't.
Oh, that'll be a breathtaking moment.
Yep. Well, I'm building a new studio to record more, so there you go. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. Good deal. And Vin, N2OHH, he said, what's the red line on the 454? Is that yours, Bob? Would that be you? I don't know if somebody wrote that.
Oh, no, on the 454, that's for Gordo's wagon. And the red line has long vanished, and I haven't blown it up yet.
Okay, excellent. Great. And I think that pretty much will do it for now, except for the one last one for you, Gordo. It came from last week when we didn't get too much time to address this. But where did you get the copper band for your grounding? They wanted to know where to get that good copper band you've got.
Okay, that comes from, I'll tell you next week. I'll look it up. Metal-cable in Ohio, and that's where it comes from. So just Google metal-cable.
You can also get that from Georgia Copper. They have an online store, and that's where I buy mine.
And one quick last one for you, George, before I go. They always wanted to know where you get the Panavice. Is that spelled Panavice or S-E?
I believe it's V-I-S-E. And just do a Google search. They have a website, but you can buy it from most any place, DigiKey. I think Jamaco probably has them. There's a number of places out there. And you're probably talking, you know, $40, $50 range, depending on where you buy it from and what attachments you get. Of course, you can spend a lot more than that if you want to.
Yeah, and they always call it, where does he get that? Where does he get that extra set of hands? You know, you're always got all the boards and all that stuff going on there. You do such a great job, and we thank you for the videos you do. So, everybody, thanks so much for your questions. Keep them coming, and keep on watching Ham Nation. We enjoy having you in the chat room. Have a great evening. 73 K9 BIK.
Thanks, Cheryl. We'll see you on 3850 or 3847. And it's the 3847 guys that told me that you run the household, so don't ever go. I back up everything I say here with some kind of.
We won't call names.
Okay, and everybody's asking about my shirt. What's so special? I've had this before, but it does have
one of our heritage is on it. So what Love can I tell too. You? Yeah. It's got a keyboard and a guitar, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But when you run around with musical people, you have to kind of look halfway like you belong. Okay, where are we going to be, Gordo? 7268?
We are there now, and we'll see.
7268.
Yeah, there he is.
So, live on Twitch.
I sure hope you'll join us. 7268, and Julian says 14268 with Bill.
California, the garlic capital of the world, inviting all of you to join us and check in to the Ham Nation 40 Meter Booth Show Net.
All right. Well, we'll see you all there, 3850 and 47, somewhere around in there. Cheryl will be there after a while. And George, you got it all set up for your D-Star. Where are you tonight?
I'm going to try to be everywhere tonight at once, and that's very difficult to do. I actually had to do a simulcast one week. They caught me on Echo Link and D-Star at the same time, so I just had two microphones up here. But Echo Link is star, do drop in, star, node number 355-800. And D-Star, of course, is Reflector 14 Module C. And if you don't have a D-Star radio, you can listen at WX480X.com/listen. 7-3.
I'm going to be listening around, but I don't know what I'm going to hear on this. Is this the cutest thing you ever saw? Look at that.
Wow.
I bought it at a ham fest. It's just a radio, you know, AM, FM, but I thought of you, George. Look at that. Yeah, they're not Nixies. They're LEDs, but they sure look cool, don't they?
So that does look nice.
What do you think, Gordo? You think I should keep it or trash it?
Yep. Keep it.
That's a keeper. They look like Nixie tubes, sort of. No one remembers Nixie tubes, right? Okay, we got to go. We're here on 7268, 14268, D-Star, and AM on 75.
You got it. So long, everybody. See you next week. 7-3 from K9 EID.